Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are awaiting Tesla's second quarter delivery and production results, hoping to get them pre-market today. If you are joining this after the live stream, be sure to check down below. You'll get the timestamps for when the actual delivery report comes out, so you don't have to sit through the pre-announcement. But for those of you that are here live, we're just going to hang out until Tesla hopefully reports numbers this morning. There is a chance it might not happen this morning. The numbers could come out in after hours, or they could even come out tomorrow. But I do anticipate them to come out here in the next, I don't know, half an hour or so. So I figured we're probably all watching for the numbers anyway. Let's come together and watch together. So thank you all for joining me. We'll go through a little bit of the news as we await for these numbers to come out. And then, of course, as we get them, we'll analyze them in real time. I'll throw them into my handy-dandy spreadsheet, and we can take a look at how the results come in and watch the market action as things develop this morning. So this will be kind of a fun one, hopefully, for people. Harkens back to the days of the S&P 500 inclusion a little bit for me, for those of you that joined that live stream. But let's take a look here. So this should be the page that Tesla eventually releases the numbers on. This is just ir.tesla.com. Well, I guess technically this is ir.tesla.com. So we'll be madly refreshing a couple of these pages. We'll keep an eye on any of the stock movement here just to... Sometimes the numbers come out a little bit beforehand. I think there's a PR newswire, press release newswire, that sometimes gets updated a little bit before Tesla's actual investor relations page does. So sometimes we actually see the first movement with the stock. We'll also keep an eye on Twitter too and just see if sometimes that gets shared out there as well. So I'll try to keep an eye on the chat. If you guys have questions, we can do just a little bit of, you know, chatting while we wait. But I did just want to go through a couple of pieces of news here, so bear with me as we kind of, you know, I don't have the normal structure set up here as we normally would, but hopefully you guys can bear with me. It is early. Shout out to anyone on the West Coast right now. It is 5 a.m. Pacific time. I'm Central time, so I get a couple hours of reprieve on that. Charlie Fox here saying, covering your morning caffeine need. All right, these super chats were very small on screen last time, so I'm just trying to resize those here as we get set up. So I think that looks pretty good. So I'm going to the Tesla website because we did get an update last night, as expected, on the Hong Kong Model Y. So let's flip over to the Hong Kong website here, which I love that Tesla just gives us that ability. And here it is, just as we expected, July 2nd, we now have the Model Y available on the Hong Kong Design Studio, and most interestingly, the standard range Model Y making its first reappearance since the brief appearance that it made in the first quarter. So we now have that returning, likely produced from Giga Shanghai here, and this would be a right-hand drive vehicle, as you can see there. In the design studio, the steering wheel flipped over to the right-hand side. There we go. Great shot of that. So a couple of big pieces of news there. First right-hand drive Model Y and first standard range Model Y for international delivery, at least, from Hong Kong. All right, the other thing I just wanted to kind of catch up on here is Elon's Twitter. So let me just load his results and we'll scan through here. Let's just take a quick peek and make sure no delivery report up yet. It doesn't look like it. All right, so I'm just going to adjust my audio here, bring it up a touch. Hopefully that's okay. You guys know me and audio. It's always a battle. All right, anyway, we've got a couple of things here from Elon. Bear with me as I kind of poke through here and find the tweets that I wanted to talk about, but... So we have him replying to Dirty Tesla, talking about just how Tesla Vision is doing pretty well so far in his experience. I think they've done a little bit of testing. So Elon replying to that, saying, yeah, it's next level, and we'll just keep getting better with more training data from Fleet. Tesla Sim Team is also crushing it. And then I think Elon goes on to say a little bit more about that. So this is on the Sim Team. So Mr. Gray here, let me zoom in a bit too, asking if Elon can share a little bit more about the simulations that Tesla runs. of course, just one aspect of Tesla's training of the neural network. When we see strange training examples, for example, half a car on highway, Tesla Sim delivers. Also, accidents on autopilot are becoming rarer, so we need more close call examples. For safety tests, autopilot sees dummy far away, emergency braking only needed for distracted drivers. So, a couple of pieces there. This really brings to mind what Andre was saying. Andre Carpathy, Tesla's senior director of artificial intelligence, was saying, I think two Sundays ago, where he was talking about Tesla and their progress with vision and how they really leveraged their fleet and how he doesn't believe anyone could accomplish what Tesla has accomplished, even just moving over to Tesla Vision, eliminating radar, without that fleet. And this is kind of an example of part of why that is. You know, as autopilot gets safer and safer, they're getting fewer and fewer examples that they can put into the neural network and actually train on, which the counter to that is put more and more cars out there, collect more and more miles, and try and get more and more of that data. Then you can get that, run it through the sim, make sure that the car is responding as it should be, and then transfer that over to production. So I thought those were kind of interesting. A couple of tweets there from Elon. I think those were the big ones that I saw. Obviously, a little bit more on Doge. I don't think we need to cover that this morning. So let me just check if we've got any results here. I don't really expect them for at least 10 more minutes, but Tesla has surprised me with the timing in the past. So it's always good to keep a close watch on that. If you do want to get to this page, so what I'm doing here is I'm just taking the link here for the Q1 press release. Tesla's done this pretty consistently. This is not the results. Don't freak out. But you can go in there and you can change the hyperlink in your browser. It just says Tesla Q1 2021 vehicle production deliveries. Just go ahead and change that to Q2. And that will bring you to this page that I am refreshing on, because that hyperlink has stayed consistent for the last couple of quarters. So hopefully this quarter will not be an outlier. All right, let's take a quick peek at the stock again. We are now at about $681, so not a ton of movement pre-market yet. Let me just scroll through and make sure there's nothing else. Elon talking about a lot about SpaceX stuff over the last couple of days. ULA government contracts. That's a whole different topic to get into. A little bit early for that, I think, in the day for me. And some memes. I guess we'll take a look at that. Hopefully no profanity. Oh, I think Elon has actually shared this one a couple of times. He must really not like Skype. Too invasive. All right, let me pop into the chat here. I think those were the main things I wanted to cover, so let me just catch up. And in the meantime, feel free to like the video. Shameless plug there. Thank you, John, for the super chat. Appreciate that. I'm just going to leave the stock screen up here. And I know there's a couple ads on screen. I apologize for that. As I've said in the past, I think it would be a little bit hypocritical for me to block ads, given that that generates revenue for the channel. Okay. I saw someone say the audio is out of sync. Okay, someone else saying audio is in sync here. Hopefully it's working okay. Got a super chat from another Rob. Always nice to see that. Thank you, Rob. And bear with me, I'm just catching up to the live chat. All right, looks like I'm caught up. I'm jealous of you over in Germany today and the Netherlands. We got a couple of people checking in. Not quite as early of a day for you guys, but I guess that counteracts because normally you get the podcast at, I don't know, like midnight. Maybe. I've heard from a lot of you that it's the breakfast routine, which is it's a great routine. Oh, we got Jossum working in the chat. I'm putting him to work early today to monitor things. Audio's clean. Awesome. Javon, audio is in sync. Love it. Man, I have not heard about NSYNC recently except for that Progressive commercial. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but kind of a, I don't know, a little bit humorous for a progressive commercial, I guess. Kind of a low bar, but if you haven't seen it, they're just they've got Flo and whoever else, maybe Jamie or whatever, they're actors. I know way too much about progressive commercials. I don't know why I'm getting into the story, but hey, it's early. We've got nothing else to do. Anyway, the advertisement is Flo and someone else, and they're doing their thing, talking about insurance, and then the customer is like, isn't something zany supposed to happen about right about now? And they're like, yeah, well, it's just been kind of a crazy couple of years, year here. We figured people could use a break, and then the door opens up, and it's three members of NSYNC, and they're like, not now, three-fifths of NSYNC, go away. That is the last time I heard of NSYNC until today. These are the kind of things that we can fill the time with this morning until we get deliveries. Can't come soon enough. Right, let's hop over to Twitter here. See what's going on in the Tesla space. Oh, Elon Musk says autopilot accidents are becoming more rare. So Tesla simulates close calls. Very timely headline. Yeah, it looks like nothing too crazy so far. Everyone just kind of in the same boat. Read the room, Rob. I don't, is that a bad thing? People don't want to hear my NSYNC story. Thank you, Halter Ferguson. Appreciate that. A lot of great support over the years. I feel like I should just leave the screen on this GIF. I think that's how a lot of people are feeling this morning. Right, nothing yet on the IR pages. So let's flip over to Excel. I can just quickly recap what we've got going on. If you are just joining, again, we're waiting for the delivery announcement. We do expect it sometime this morning before market open. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, it could still happen after hours. Or even tomorrow. Tesla has just said that they will release quarterly results at each quarter within 3 days of quarter end. So every single time except for one quarter over the last 5 years, they've hit that. And that was another holiday weekend. I don't think that'll be the case this time. So today or tomorrow, most likely this morning, we will see. Daniel Furta saying, let's watch Dirty Tesla's video together. There's a new one out. We could. I can't, I don't really feel great about streaming another person's video on my channel. So, but yeah, shout out to Dirty Tesla. They do a lot of great content. So, feel free to go over and check that channel out while we wait. Certainly no harm in that, unless you want to miss more of my automotive insurance commercials. All right, let's see. All right, let's flip over to Excel then. As I said, I did not get distracted here, despite that chat. Just getting things set up here, and we'll flip over. Right, so here's the spreadsheet. Some of you commented that I can definitely reformat this better, so working on that. One of our listeners volunteered to help with that, so actually, he's working on that. But yeah, I can definitely, this was kind of just set up for my own purposes and then just started using it on the streams, and it can definitely use some work just so we keep, headings and stuff locked as we go through. But here are my expectations. So I'm expecting production of around 208,800 vehicles. So that's total production for Q2. That would be a 154% increase over Q2 last year. That was about 82,000 produced. But of course, we did have pandemic-related shutdowns. So Tesla was closed, I think, in Fremont. Actually, I think I have it on the sheet here. Can see some of my scratch work down here. Oh, it's always fun. But anyway, so we've got Fremont closed last year from March 23rd to May 11th, and Shanghai was closed early in May as well. So that's why Q2 production was quite a bit lower last year. You can see Q1 was even ahead of that. Thanks, David, for the super chat. Appreciate that. But that's why we've got, you know, these pretty insane comps here from last year. Although, you know, even if Tesla had done normal deliveries, I think they probably would have been around, I don't know, maybe 140,000 or so, 130, let's say. So still, you're growing. Pay no attention while I just do some simple math on my my computer. But even if Tesla had not been constrained like that last year, it'd probably be about a 55% year-over-year increase. So still, you know, really, really solid growth. Regardless of the shutdowns last year. All right, we've got a super chat here from Solar. I know it's a little bit tough to read with the background here, but hi, Rob. Do you think Tesla should stop selling FSD and only enable subscriptions since the value of the service will be much higher as it gets ready and Tesla doesn't need the quick cash? It's a really great question. I think Elon has kind of expressed that in the past. He thinks buying FSD up front is an amazing deal and that it's more valuable than Tesla is selling it for. And I do believe that's why Tesla wants to shift people to subscriptions, is so they are not giving away that sort of a license to what they believe is more valuable technology. So I think they're going to structure the pricing in a way that makes the subscription pretty appealing. I don't think they're going to remove, at least right away, I don't think they're going to remove the option to buy FSD. And that does still help Tesla's financials, certainly right now. You know, we've talked a lot about this, but Tesla is solidly profitable. But if you take out the regulatory credits, from a GAAP profit perspective, they're not going to be showing huge profits and could even be showing small losses, especially depending on what happens with Bitcoin and any impairment there. So maybe once they get to a point where they're a little bit more comfortable of showing profitability just with FSD subscription, which is going to be a lot less upfront profit versus having the FSD revenue coming in, hitting right away, even though some of it is deferred, that would still be a bigger boost to profitability and on a quarterly basis right now than subscription will. So I think over time, they'll just adjust the pricing levers and try to optimize it for selling as many subscriptions as they can, but also still maintaining that GAAP profitability, which they have guided for. But that's going to be a lot easier now that Elon Musk's compensation plan is going to be dramatically reduced in terms of the quarterly impact, because a lot of that has just been recognized recently. All right, so we're at about 5:15 a.m. Pacific right now. Still no report from Tesla that I'm seeing here. Pardon me as I take a quick drink break. It's early, so my voice isn't warmed up as it is usually on the podcast yet. So yeah, quick look at deliveries then. So I'm expecting 202,800. Let me make sure you guys can see that. Obviously a record quarter. If Tesla does hit that number, even if they come in quite a bit lower than expectations, it should still be a record quarter. So we'll see. I think there are pretty few scenarios where Tesla doesn't beat that, and obviously expectations, as we've talked about, Wall Street's expecting about 201,000 deliveries, so I'm just a little bit higher there at 203, but to be fair, when I did my estimates, I was a little bit higher. It was about 198,000 when I did my estimates, so the consensus coming up a little bit towards the end of the quarter, it looked like. The consensus does also expect about 6,500 S&X deliveries, which clearly we don't expect nearly that amount. I'm thinking maybe 500 to 1,000 deliveries, something in that ballpark for S&X. Although we do have, I guess that's for new. There's probably a little bit of overhang inventory still left from Q1 of those older models, but probably not enough to get to 6,000. I think those forecasts in some cases are just a little bit out of date. Alright, so I'm going to flip over back to Safari here. Just see what's going on. It looks like no major action in the stock yet, so no report. This should be updating live, but I'm just refreshing on occasion just to make sure that that stays up to date. See what the latest is on Tesla Twitter. Some news on Norway registrations. I tend not to go through those registrations too much, those individual countries. We always get them so close to the actual delivery announcement that we might as well just wait, in my opinion, and see what worldwide is, because Tesla changes all their exporting and things like that. Sorry, I got distracted because I saw my Twitter handle in here. it's not far off. It's not far off. A good reminder to refresh, though. Yeah, it looks like nothing. I don't know why this headline keeps showing up. I guess it's a decent headline. All right, I think I saw a couple of other super chats in here. Thanks, Peter. Or Petter. I'm not sure, actually. I know you've been a supporter for a long time, but I guess I've never figured out which one you go by. But thank you for that and all the other support. Appreciate it. John, again, thank you. Our city here, what would the financial impact be to allow FSD to follow the user account when they sell? So it follows the car right now. I'm assuming you're just saying if you basically you buy a license to FSD and you just hold that and it applies to whatever car. I'm guessing that's the question here. This has been asked to Elon before. He has no interest in doing that. I think for pretty good reason. Mainly the fact that he believes FSD, the raw purchase price right now, is undervalued. So if you allow a user to buy a perpetual license for that, and you don't tie that to an actual vehicle, you know, then you're on the hook 100 years from now. Not 100, but 50 plus years from now for someone to still have this this FSD license. So I think from a business perspective, it's much better for Tesla to tie that to the cars. You know, customers tend to feel a little bit differently about that than investors would. Obviously, it'd be better for customers if they could just do that. And people say that that would encourage people to upgrade more often, which is true. But Tesla is not hurting for demand. So that benefit to them is minimized. I see this one here. Where's the mullet? I kind of unveiled that on the Plaid delivery event. It's back there. That's why I wear the hat, guys. I'm just hiding it. It's been I haven't gotten a haircut in like a year and a half. So the hat has been hiding that interim stage. Just something to do during the last year. Things are opening up again, but over that period of time, we just haven't had a ton to do. So I figured, hey, I'll just grow my hair out in the meantime. All right, Andy here. Thanks, Rob from Pittsburgh. Love your stuff. Any wild guesses on when Tesla brings the compact out, with AI Day being the next big thing? I don't see it soon. Yeah, I don't think we see an announcement for that from Tesla this year. I don't think there's much reason to. Sorry, I just get worried that I'm going to miss something if I don't refresh every so often. This is probably our best indicator for that. So, yeah, I would tend to agree here. I don't see it really being anytime soon. I don't think Tesla really needs to unveil it before too long, or too long before they actually have production ready to go. That's just going to cannibalize things. If Tesla does come out and say, hey, here's our $25,000 car, but you can't buy it for 2 years, people are going to wonder if they should hold out and wait for that, and things like that. So I think, you know, maybe sometime next year we see the announcement, and then maybe 2023 we start to see deliveries. I think Tesla probably wants to make sure that everything is up and running volume-wise for 4680. Obviously, that's a key factor in getting to the price point for the $25,000 Model 3 or a compact version, or sorry, $25,000, you know, next model, Model 2 or Model A or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, I don't really expect any announcement on that this year. Although definitely, it's going to be fun to see when that does happen. It's been kind of a while since I think the Cybertruck was the last real product announcement, unless I'm just blanking on something, which is certainly a possibility. Oh man, I'm gonna laugh so hard. Well, actually, I'll just feel really bad if Tesla does hold off until tomorrow to or until after hours to release these numbers. All right, just catching up here. I think I saw a couple of other super chats. Bradford asking if I can give a Gus Johnson narration instead of Joe Buck. I know both those people, but I don't really know how to change up my delivery to mirror either one of them. Joel, as I've said before, Joel was the first gold level supporter on Tesla Daily a few years back. I think that must have been like November of 2017. Joel's been really, really supportive over the years, as is Bradford, as I just mentioned before. Andrew says, morning from California. Open economy equals no more excuses for not getting a haircut. Yeah, there hasn't really been a good excuse for that for a long time. But my excuse now is that I'm just going to keep growing it out. I think I don't want to commit to this, but it would be nice to grow it long enough to donate it and then just kind of give up on that phase. But it's kind of a lofty goal. I don't know if I can commit to that quite yet. All right, David here asking, tricky question, why does Tesla deserve a tech PE now before FSD is even released? So I think it's important to recognize the current day value of the FSD feature suite and Autopilot. That's something that inarguably does provide customers today with a lot of value. I just tweeted last night that I think Navigate on Autopilot is pretty underrated. It seems like people actually had some dissenting opinions on that. Which I found a little bit surprising. I think it really depends on your use case for it. For me, I'm driving down to Chicago all the time, and it's really nice on that drive. It honestly, it handles everything. Is every single lane change decision perfect? No. But once you grow to accept that and you realize it's not going to exactly act like you might drive, then it handles it. You know, it's going to get you in the right spot. Most of the time, obviously, it's not perfect, so you're still gonna have to monitor and take over and things like that. But you know, it does 99% of that trip for me every single time, and I don't have to worry about directions. I don't have to worry about being in the right lane. I don't have to worry about when my exit is. It's just handled, so it's really nice. So anyway, sort of a tangent there to the question, but why does Tesla deserve a tech PE now? You know, they're selling a $10,000 software option. Yeah, they can't recognize all of it yet, but they can recognize a big chunk of it. And that's a big reason why Tesla's margins are quite a bit higher than their competitive set. The other answer to that question is just the insane growth rate and the total addressable market. They're huge, you know, maybe the biggest in the world. So you've got automotive and energy. It's just crazy. Aberdeen here asking, have you thought about doing any Tesla Daily podcast merch? A logo on a t-shirt would be cool. Keep up the great work. Yeah, I don't think Tesla would take super kindly to me selling merchandise with Tesla. Some sort of with Tesla used it all in the name. I'm grateful that they, you know, they don't seem to care that the podcast is called Tesla Daily, so I'm not gonna push that with merch. But I guess I would say stay tuned on that topic. I'll leave it at that. And I'm a little bit behind on chat here. We're approaching the halfway mark in the hour. So I think last quarter the results came out a little bit before, I think it was about 45 minutes before market open. We're now about an hour before market open. I just wanted to make sure to start in case it did come earlier. There had been a bit of a trend for it to come out earlier and earlier, so I didn't want to miss it. I think last quarter I was expecting it later, and I had just gotten out of the shower and saw that the results were posted. So I kind of had to scramble and get a live stream up and running quick on that. I'll check in on Twitter here quick. But hopefully, yeah, we'll start to see some action here in maybe 15 minutes or so. Again, if you are just joining, we're just hanging out until we get the numbers. I figured everyone's going to be doing this anyway, so we might as well do it together. The numbers aren't guaranteed to come out pre-market today, but hopefully they do. It's the most likely. If not, we should see them aftermarket today or tomorrow. I would say if the numbers are a miss, it'd probably actually benefit Tesla to put those out tomorrow. You've got the long holiday weekend, then people can digest them without overreacting to the stock today. So if we don't see the numbers that I've mentioned this in past quarters, but if we don't see them this morning, it's, in my interpretation, not a great sign for how the numbers are. It doesn't guarantee that they're a miss, but it just makes it a little bit more likely. All right. Thanks, Troy, for the super chat and the nice words there. Does Fremantle Dockers beat Carlton at the MGC tomorrow? Oh, man. Should have read that before I put it on screen, because now I'm showing my ignorance about that topic. I do not know. Someone's going to have to help me out on that. I'm assuming that's a sports thing. My sports world right now consists of the Milwaukee Bucks, so go Bucks. Bucks and six. They won last night, which was a nice game to watch with their best player out with an injury. All right, no action yet, but as I said, we're approaching the halfway point in the hour. Stock's still holding just right at 680. Don't expect to see too much going on that until the numbers start to come in. How many people we got watching right now? I can't see that. I can only see the likes, which looks like we've got a pretty good amount of. Appreciate those. Three dislikes. I'm guessing that's because of my NSYNC story. Totally justified. I won't even be mad about that. Appreciate that, Marco. Tesla Daily, part of the morning routine there for Marco in the Netherlands. It is fun that we just have a global audience for this. Definitely helpful sometimes when we've got local news. Appreciate you guys that chime in on, send me DMs on Twitter and stuff. I know I'm really, 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 really bad about replying to stuff. And all I can say is I'm sorry. I do my best. Refresh. Oh, it's out. Oh, it's out. Okay. Here we go, guys. Let me zoom in on this. We have the numbers here. In the second quarter, we produced and delivered over 200,000 vehicles. Our teams have done an outstanding job at navigating through global supply chain and logistics challenges. So production, 206,421 total vehicles. Delivery is 201,250. So just narrowly ahead of expectations there from Wall Street. But really happy with these numbers. This is pretty close to what I had forecast on both numbers here. So it looks like they did actually deliver a little bit more S&X and produced a little bit more S&X than what I had anticipated. So really happy to see that. That means the Model 3 and the Model Y numbers are a little bit lower. Of course, I was at about 208,000, 208,800 produced was my forecast. So Model 3 and Model Y definitely came in a little bit lower than what I had guessed, but S&X offsetting that a little bit. And it looks like pretty high lease accounting here on the S&X. I guess a lot of people are leasing Plaids, which I suppose kind of makes sense in that price band. So very happy with those numbers. Let's see how the stock is reacting here. No reaction. Classic. Up about 0.5%, now dropping a little bit. We'll just keep an eye on this here for a second, then we'll flip over to Excel and see what's going on. But here's that IV crush for anyone in the options trading game. Puts are getting crushed, calls are getting crushed, stock sticking right at where it closed at, and benefiting the options writers in this case. We'll see if that holds throughout the day, but definitely a muted reaction to the stock so far, which I suppose does make sense given the basically delivery numbers coming in right on consensus. As I've said, though, I care way, way, way more about these production numbers than I do these delivery numbers. So I actually think this should be interpreted as a bigger beat than it is based on that production number. And maybe the market's going to figure that out, maybe not. But if production was only 202,000, that would mean, a worse outlook for the second half of the year than this higher production number suggests. So I'm just taking a quick peek here to just see if there's anything that sticks out. So this is just boilerplate stuff for Tesla. This is here every quarter. They're just saying this delivery count should be viewed as slightly conservative until they get the final count, which will, of course, come out with the earnings results. So let's take these numbers and let's put them into Excel, and we can take a look at how this compared with my forecast and what this might mean for the rest of the year. So flip over to Excel here, back to the production spreadsheet. As you can see, my production forecast there was 208,800, so about 1% high versus what Tesla announced here. Deliveries, I was, I think, about 0.5% higher than announcement. So we've got 204. So we kind of have to just make a call on where we want to remove production out of. We'll see. We'll get a better idea for Fremont. So this is Fremont. This is Shanghai. We'll get a better idea for that split when we do have the actual or the reported June production numbers from Shanghai. But in the interim, let's just we'll take them out of Fremont, I suppose. So from Fremont, I am at, let's see. Well, I guess simplest way, let's just update Model S and X first. So we've got 2340 there. And then for model, and I know I'm covering that, but I'll just make sure that you guys can see that in a second. And then I'm just gonna take out from these, we'll say, I'm just kind of arbitrarily doing this between Model 3 and Model Y. So 421, pretty close. Let's just add, thanks for bearing with me on this part. So that gets us to 206, 421. So I'll zoom in here and we can see how this compares year over year. So we've got total production in this column here. We're up 151% year over year, 14% quarter over quarter growth. Tesla producing about 26,000 more vehicles in Q2 than Q1. About 24,000 of that coming from Model 3 and Model Y. Presumably, most of that coming from, if we look over here, these are just estimates at this point. But obviously, we see a step up in estimated Model Y production from Shanghai of about 20,000 units or so, quarter over quarter. So most of that 26,000 increase here coming from Shanghai Model Y. And it looks like they maybe picked up a couple thousand in, Model 3 and Model Y, maybe from Fremont, and then a couple thousand from S and X. So production rates, I'm guessing, for Fremont held pretty consistent quarter over quarter. The reason I'm thinking that, and we'll see based on the China number, but the reason I'm thinking that is because we do have that extra day, as I pointed out before, in Q2 versus Q1. And we did have rumors of a production shutdown, or I guess confirmed production shutdown for a couple days there in Q1. We didn't really hear much of that in Q2, though obviously there still could have been supply chain challenges. So, again, really, really happy with that number. We'll have to wait and see how Shanghai comes in. That'll allow us to back in a little bit better to Fremont. And then for deliveries, so we've got a, let me just do a quick calc here. So we've got 200,000, 201,000, 250. So for deliveries, that's going to be up about 9% quarter over quarter. And just quick change that to a percent. And then we've got for year over year, a 121% increase in deliveries year over year. So 9% quarter over quarter, 120% year over year. And again, that compares to production up 14% quarter over quarter. So a little bit misleading in terms of the, you know, again, I think the delivery number is less representative of the progress that Tesla is making. I think the true progress is more of this plus 14% here versus the delivery number of plus 9% quarter over quarter. And production year over year, it means less because of that shutdown, as we mentioned. Deliveries 121%, production 151%. But again, I think the quarter over quarter is more important here. So looking at the first half of the year, Tesla is now at 386,000 deliveries so far. They built up their inventory a little bit, so as I expected, I'm actually pretty happy with that. I'd forecast about 6,000 as the increase in inventory. That's come in at about 5,200. So no surprise there to see Tesla's inventory build here after two quarters in a row of reducing their inventory. I think this is probably coming down to vehicles being currently exported in June and crossing over into July, so Q3, from Shanghai. And then it looks like we do have probably a little bit of build on SNX as well. The numbers there for SNX were about 2,300 produced and about 1,900 delivered. So it looks like we've got about 400 SNX in inventory as well. If you were following on Twitter towards the end of quarter, we did see a lot of pictures and things of the storerooms, a lot of storerooms around the US being just basically stripped, sold out, no cars on display. So that's why I'm thinking a lot of this inventory is probably international. But that being said, even adding 5,200 vehicles, Tesla is still very clearly supply constrained. We'll get their days of inventory number, and we could probably calc it here. I just don't have that calc up, but we'll get the days of inventory number with the Q2 earnings report, which should happen probably around July 26th, so about 3.5 weeks. But when we do get that, we'll see how much inventory Tesla has. They're coming off of a multi-year low of just 8 days of inventory. Most automakers, you know, Tesla's got a bit of a different model, but most automakers operate with around, honestly, about 70 days of inventory in general. So for Tesla to just be at 8, obviously quite a bit lower than their competitive set. So anyway, getting back to those half one deliveries, 386,000. That leaves us with, let's see, Wall Street consensus for the year right now is 850,000. So that leaves Tesla with 464,000 left for the rest of the year. That is 232,000 per quarter. And right now, they're at a production rate of 206,000 here in Q2. So we have seen reports that hopefully some of the supply chain challenges are expected to let up a little bit in Q3. Q3 tends to be a really strong quarter for Tesla in general. And then we're going to continue to see SNX production get ramped up. Again, actually pretty happy with the 2,300 produced. That would be dominated by Model X, or Model S, sorry. We don't have a lot of production on Model X yet, so when Tesla eventually does bring that into the fold, which hopefully will happen in Q3, I've seen a little bit of conflicting information on that, but when Tesla brings that in and continues to actually have a full quarter of Model S production, they eventually should be able to get those two numbers up to 25,000 per quarter, which would add another 22,000 here, which would bring us to about 228,000 produced. Even if Tesla just holds Model Y production, holds Model 3 production in both Fremont and Shanghai. So Wall Street consensus of 850,000, you know, Tesla in Q3 is not going to ramp up to full SNX capacity right away, but certainly that is in the realm of being achievable, even without any production from Giga Berlin and Giga Texas. So I still think there's probably upside to that. I think there's still some room on capacity for 3NY, and we'll see with the earnings report just how much supply chain challenges impacted Tesla. We should also consider here, I was just talking deliveries. I guess production is around a similar level, but now that Tesla does have a little bit more inventory, we've seen them go to lower levels. They could, in the second half of the year, work inventory down a little bit from where it's going to end up here at the end of Q2. So, you know, maybe they take these 5,000 extra vehicles that they've got added to inventory here, and they deliver those in the second half of the year. They'd be able to get away with, you know, production of, just doing some mental math here. So we needed, I think, 434. They could get away with like 429 in terms of production and still hit that 850,000 deliveries. which would be really close to their production capacity based on just current run rates. But again, hopefully that improves. All right, so I'm going to flip back to the internet here, and let's just see kind of more of the reaction, and then we'll wrap up the live stream here. I don't think any reason to belabor the points too much. So switch back to Safari. I'm just going to quick check on the stock, see where things are after a little bit of a time to digest this. So stock down about 0.3%. You'd hardly even know Tesla made an announcement this morning, based on some of those things. Popping back over to Twitter here. Got a nice tweet from Galley there. Tweet from me. Thanks to Jocelyn for helping me out with that. Yeah, it looks like that's kind of the early reaction so far. Falling short of expectations. Yeah, okay. Can never beat anything anymore, I suppose. All right, so pretty muted reaction, but again, I am very happy with the numbers. You know, I think this is right in the realm of expectations. Again, solid quarter-over-quarter growth, solid year-over-year growth. I'm actually super happy with the Model S and X numbers. We should get the earnings report now, and I believe it'll probably happen on Monday, July 26th. Tesla's last quarter changed up their schedule a little bit. They surprised us with a Monday release, so we're kind of waiting to figure out if it's gonna divert back to Wednesdays, or if it's going to, you know, stay with that Monday schedule from here on forward. My bet is on Mondays going forward, but we'll have to wait and see on that. If it is Mondays, probably July 26th. Probably in a couple days. I don't think I'm gonna wait until the very end of the quarter or the very end of July to update my numbers. I think we'll get just a quick preview. I don't want to overcommit, but I think we'll do a quick preview on what these numbers are going to mean, just because I am excited for what they're going to mean. And I think a lot of people are still underappreciating that. So maybe next week or the week after, we'll take a quick look at what 200,000 deliveries means for Tesla in terms of the financials. Again, this is 9% above their previous quarter record, and we also have a little bit of S and X coming back in. Although I think if we hop back to Q1, let's just take a look at that. I know Tesla had inventory. Okay. Yeah. So deliveries were actually pretty close, Q2 and Q1 for S and X. So no big margin tailwind or anything like that from Q2 though. Obviously, these are going to be at a higher price point with the Plaid coming in and should be better margin though. That kind of depends on the accounting, since obviously it's still very low production. So let me just quick pop back into chat here. I'm sure I missed a quite a bit of chats, but let me know what you guys think. And let me know what you think about the format too. I know it's a little bit less polished this way, but hopefully you guys appreciate getting the thanks for that super chat, Michael. Appreciate that a lot. Hopefully you guys appreciate the timeliness, and just kind of hanging out before the numbers come out. DMNC, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. All right. Caught up to the bottom of the chat here now. Someone asking about expected Q3 number. So I will, again, I think we'll probably go into that maybe next week or a couple weeks from now. I don't want to say something off the top of my head. Certainly, I expect production to continue to ramp up. And I think this definitely allows Tesla to get to that Wall Street consensus around 850,000 for the year. Still puts them in the ability to do that. I think 1 million at this point, probably looking like a long shot. We'll see. If Tesla comes out on the call and says that they were production constrained because of supply chain issues, because of, you know, chip shortages, whatever, I think that could maybe reset those expectations a little bit. But right now, I wouldn't expect, you know, 1 million this year, unless we really get solid production from Berlin and Texas, which I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't want to forecast for at this point. That being said, you may remember back to my conversation with Pierre Ferragu when we had him on that we don't, you know, I don't really care if Tesla delivers a million in the calendar year of 2021 or if it ends up being, you know, Q2 2021 through Q1 2022. Kind of a tongue twister there, but I'm just saying if you shift the quarters back by one quarter and Tesla delivers a million over those trailing 12 months, you know, that's just as big of a success. I guess technically not just as big of a success, but for me, that's just as meaningful as if Tesla were able to do it in 2020. I don't care too much if they, you know, if that gets shifted back by 3 months. And again, Tesla this year only guided to significantly exceed 750,000 deliveries with their, you know, basic statement of saying we expect more than 50% growth this year. So even 850,000, that's definitely achieving what Tesla set out to do this year. No one should view that as a bad number by any means. If Tesla can get there, that's a great number and gives them a little bit of a lower base too for next year to be able to continue to deliver really solid growth in 2022 as well. Probably even better growth as we see Berlin and Texas come online next year. So I think with that, I will wrap it up for today. And this will wrap it up for the week. As I said earlier yesterday, the markets are closed. NASDAQ is closed on Monday. So I'm not planning on having an episode. That may change if something really crazy happens, but hopefully not. If I missed any super chats, I do apologize for that. Just send me a tweet on Twitter. I'll try to get back to you if I did miss one of those. I'll do my best on that. But appreciate you guys for tuning in and hanging out with me during this this production and delivery report release. And we'll see you again next week on likely on Tuesday. But until then, make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you're signed up for notifications. And you can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you next time, probably for that July 6th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.